person needs no more introductions. Since you preached this morning, you know who he is. Come up.
Let me just say one other thing about this chaplaincy thing. I'm back there and ask Chris, and it's the same response I get every time. You used 20 years in the Navy, brother? Did you ever meet a chaplain worth having? Chaplain Bruce. Amen. Very few times do I ever get the response, yes. And folks, listen, I'm going to tell you what. That tells you there's a great need, amen. And so pray for us, because everything we do for missionaries or chaplains is we don't charge them anything for it, material we provide for them, anything we do. And so the Lord's opened up, I believe, some great doors, amen. And I have to say this, though, because Brother Richard's the first one, and he's threatened my life. He said, don't ever come around me with something that says Navy on it, amen. He is a dyed-in-the-wool Marine, amen. If you look at my car, I have a Marine coffee cup. I have a Marine notebook that I carry. It's out there, you know. He bought me one of those things to carry all my toiletries in. It says Marines on it, amen. But then every time he says it, some guy behind him says, yeah, but the Marines could not get to the battle without the Navy. I don't know. Take your Bibles and find 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And so we'll be at later this year, in early September, be at Fort Benning, Georgia, to see Chaplain Davidson down there. And so we'd appreciate your prayers for all this as we travel. I ask you to pray about one other thing. We're making plans. My wife and I are trying to do that. We were in South Africa in February, and it's not on his brother. We were in South Africa in February, and then we were in Mozambique and then to South Africa. And Lord willing, if the Lord will allow us to do it, it's going to take some work to get it done. I'm already beginning to start on it. Is we want to make a 4 or 5 country trip to Africa in January, February of this year. We'll go from here to probably fly to Johannesburg, and we found out we can buy an intercontinental pass with South African Airlines, and we'll go to Kenya, we'll go to Mozambique, we'll go to the southern part of South Africa, and then I promised Matt I'd come to the Congo. So pray for us, amen. We'll make it. That'll take us about 4 to 5 weeks to pull that off. The first price I looked at the ticket to do that was over $3,000. But I look at that and I think that's staggering to be $6,000, almost $7,000 for my wife and I to go. But we spent, just to go to Mozambique and South Africa, the tickets were almost $3,500 for that trip to the two of us. If we make 5 separate trips, imagine what it would be. Or if we just go and spend the one time. And so we're excited about that and thought of that. And so we appreciate you praying about that. We get ready to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to read a very familiar verse. One of the things that we've got into this thing, working with these chaplains, and they're trying to teach me all the lingo and understanding all this stuff, and I have no military background, so I don't understand a lot of what they're saying. But I do understand this, the great need they have. When you come back from these places, and there's people here that can testify more than I can about it, the battle that you face in your life. They talk about this post-traumatic stress syndrome and all this stuff that they deal with, and I don't understand it all. But not just, if you get over that, just the battle of living the military life, especially as a single man or a single young lady. They say right now the statistics are that better than half of the folks that are married, if they're deployed, one of them is deployed, they end up separated or divorced before the deployment's over. Army right now, am I right, deploying usually about every other year, and it's a 12-month deployment with the gear up and the gear down. You're talking 14 to 15 months. You're home maybe 6-8 months, and then you're deployed again. The Marines is more like 7-8 months, but yet you're gearing up, gearing down. You shoot a year to get it done. Then you're off maybe a year and a half, and you're deployed again. Begin to think about what stress is on those homes and on those situations. A chaplain's deployed. He's a non-combatant. He doesn't carry a rifle. He's deployed to a zone. He has what is called an RP. An RP is his personal bodyguard, basically is what it comes down to. He's the man carrying the rifle with the chaplain. But yet, the chaplain's like Brother Weesey Lee, 7 months he's away from his wife, 3 kids. Chaplain Davidson's getting ready to be deployed next year with the Army unit he's with down there, and he'll be leaving his wife and 4 children at Fort Benning, Georgia. Think about the battles they face, and they need help. Amen. And that always brings me to this verse and a thought I want to give you tonight to pray with me about. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 57 is a very familiar verse, but I want to look at this in a different way. I know what this verse says when he talks about the fact. Well, let's just read this whole thing beginning in verse number 53. He said, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." But I love this verse. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Hey, folks, listen. The only reason you and I have any victory in our life as a Christian is not because of anything we have done or anything we are capable of doing. Amen. But it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This past Monday, I had to preach a funeral. One of the fellows that came when I pastored in West Virginia came to our church and got saved. And Brother Brian and his family came and got saved, and he got cancer and he died. And he asked me to do the funeral. And there I was standing in our former church, and the church is almost full of people that they don't have any idea what just transpired in their life, because most of them don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And there they are. I mean, they're sitting in this room, and I'm excited because I can go back to the day right at that altar that I led that man to the Lord Jesus Christ. And not 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, he called me to his house. He said, "Preacher, I just want you to know I'm saved, amen, and I'm not afraid of dying." What can give that kind of victory? The Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Hey, folks, listen, but here's the thing that impresses my heart. We ought to get a hold of the victory in our Christian lives, the victory in our life in the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't just start and end the day we get saved. It starts there, amen. But we can live a victorious Christian life. Hey, listen, one of the chaplains emailed me one day, and he said, "Brother Morrison, we've got a situation we have to face." He said, "We've determined that there's a person on this ship," and I have to be careful how to say this because it makes some people mad when I say it the wrong way. He said, "We found a couple people on this ship engaged in activities they shouldn't be engaged in." And the commander came to him, the commander of the ship, and said, "What do I do? I'm in a moral dilemma. What do I do?" And Richard emailed me, and he said, "What do I do?" I said, "Send them home." Aiken had to get the sin out of the camp in Aiken's time, amen. Well, I never thought about it. This is my first instance of doing something important as an endorser. He went to his commander and said, "My endorser said, send them home." They pulled in the next port and sent them home. And I'm thinking, this is great, amen. Hey, but folks, listen, I'm trying to get you a hold of the fact there's so many battles we fight in our Christian life. Not just people in the military, but in our Christian life, day after day after day, we fight moral battles, we fight ethical battles, we fight dilemmas in our heart, in our lives, day after day, week after week. And we better realize that the victory that we have obtained in the Lord Jesus Christ didn't start and end the day I got saved. It started the day I got saved. Amen. And I can live victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ, not just from the day of not just at salvation and the rest of my life be a blur and a mess, but at salvation can commence a lifelong life of being victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Hello? I get disturbed that Christians that constantly talk about living defeated and being overcome. Hello? Because we should not have to live that way. Because we have victory in the Lord Jesus. Go to Romans chapter 8. You know the verses. Go to Romans chapter 8. And I'm not going to show you anything new, but try to reiterate something to you and challenge you that there's something we have to get a hold of. I guess one of the challenges with this whole chaplaincy thing is, how do people get victory over drugs? How do they get victory over alcohol? How do they get victory over all this immorality in our world? And folks, it's not just in the military. It's here, amen. I mean, you can walk to your computer at your home and 3 or 4 clicks, You can be in things that you would never dreamed of being in any other situation in your life. It's right there. Amen? And so we need to know that we have victory. Now look, I love this verse, Romans chapter 8. Victory commences with the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, you know the verse, verse number 37. He said this, nay, in all these things, I love this verse. He said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He said, in all these things, I don't know if you don't have the time, we go back and we read all of chapter 8 and all that he talks about. And he says, in all these things now, remember this, we are more than a conqueror. What is it to be more than a conqueror? See, when you conquer something, you get victory over it. You defeat it. Amen? But he said that word that caught my attention. He said, we're not just conquerors, we're more than conquerors. And if you understand the day and age that this is being written in the Roman Empire, that when the Roman Empire went in, like they did in all over that country and all of that part of the world, they didn't just conquer that nation and defeat it in a military battle. They defeated it and then occupied the territory and began to live there and rule there in their way. You know what he just said to us in our Bible? That we cannot just conquer the sin and the things of our life that is defeating us through the Lord Jesus Christ. That we can defeat that and then we can occupy that territory and rule it with our values and our standards. Amen. We're more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it commences with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we have in having the ability to be a victorious Christian. One of the men I've met through this whole military process is a man named Tyler Ryberg. And Tyler Ryberg is a 27-year Marine general that is retired, got saved early in his military life, spent 27 years in the Marines as a commander, as a saved man. He now works out of a church in St. Louis, outside of St. Louis, Missouri, and his whole ministry is to minister to military people. His burden is to get as many commanders, as many officers in the military that he can get a hold of that are saved so they can influence this thing. Amen? Hello? You can ask anybody in the military, the commanding officer influences everything that goes on in that particular command. Amen? He can say yes or no. And you say, what are you trying to say? We are more than conquerors. We are now conquered that, and we become the commanding officer. Amen? We're in charge because we're more than a conqueror. We now rule this. Amen? We now control this part of our life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Hey, folks, listen. Why are we living defeated lives as Christians? Why do I hear pastor time after time talk about this one that's been destroyed by sin, this one that's been destroyed by this, this one's been destroyed by that? Hey, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Our victory commenced with the Lord Jesus Christ, but it continues with the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not just a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. Amen? Now watch this next verse. This next one will make a Presbyterian run around the building. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It commences, it continues, but watch this. This verse just thrills me when I think about it, because if you just read it and believe it, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and he says in verse number 14, now thanks be unto God, what? Which, do we believe the Bible? Say amen. He said, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. He didn't say, today I win, tomorrow I lose. He said he causes us always. That's why I say it commences with the Lord, but it continues with the Lord. And the promise of God today is that I won't just be victorious today. I can be victorious tomorrow and the next day and the next week and the next year and 10 years from now. I can be victorious in my Christian life because he doesn't just cause me to win once and that's it. He said he always, always causes us to triumph in the Lord Jesus Christ. If I didn't believe that, folks, I believe I would just go home and quit. Amen? Hello? I was reading a book about the Roman Empire and trying to understand some of the terminology Paul's using from living in that area. And I was reading about this, and they got to talking about when these Roman generals would come back from battle, they would make what they call a triumphal entry into the city. And they would have chariots with white horses. And these Roman generals would ride in those chariots of white horses. And they would come in this huge parade of people. And usually they would bring behind them some of the people they had conquered as slaves and evidence of the victory they had in their life. And they would enter that city with great triumph and great pageantry so that all the world would know that they were the triumphant ones. They had not just won, but they had defeated the enemy. They had occupied the territory, and they were the triumphant ones. You know, one day we're going to leave this world and enter the city we're destined to live in. Amen. And I wonder, will we make a triumphal entry into that city as more than a conqueror through the Lord Jesus Christ? Or will we enter in with our heads down? The shame, the life we've lived. Well, I got to thinking about that. Man, it grabbed a hold of my soul. See, I got saved May the 20th, 1972. I told you wrong today, brother. I'm 36 years old in the Lord, amen. I thought it was 40. I was getting older, and I really was, amen. But I got to thinking, I got saved that day, and that day God said, you have victory if you want it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that in that time when I got saved, there was things in my life I needed to conquer, amen. I mean, music needed to be conquered in my life, amen. When I got saved, I needed to conquer some things in my life, things that I dressed, the way I dressed, places I went. I needed to conquer some of those things. But I look back over my life, and now 36 years later, looking back, the exciting thing is that once I came to the point that I let the Lord Jesus Christ enable me to conquer those things in my life, I didn't just conquer them. I am now always triumphant, always able to be able to win. Somebody say amen. Why are we always defeated? Why is the average Christian, brother, talking about being defeated most of the time and not being triumphant? Because we haven't figured out. I can't win. Amen. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that wins through me, for me. Amen. But he promised me I will always triumph in the Lord. You know when I fail? You know when I get defeated? It's when I step away from letting the Lord do it. Amen. And I decide I'm going to do it. Amen. I'm going to do it my way. Do it. Hey, folks, listen. I'm thanking God today that through everything that we face in our life, if we'll just walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, he will cause us not to once in a while be victorious, but we can always be triumphal in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I look at young people a lot of times, and I preach a lot of youth camps through the years. Next year, you pray for me. If everything goes the way it's lining out, I'll do 4 out of 6 weeks preaching youth camps. I ought to be shocked. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what. You've never, that song the pastor and his family sang tonight, that's a beautiful song. I love that song. But you want to put a chill up and down your back, you put 300 kids under a tabernacle, and they get to singing that song. After about 4 days of preaching the devil out of them, and God gets a hold of their heart, and they ran to an altar and confessed a lot of things and got right with God, and all of a sudden now they're on the victory side, amen, and they quit singing like they're defeated, and they start singing like they're on the victory side, amen. I'm going to tell you what, it'll excite your soul to see what God can do. I'll never forget down there at Camp Victory one night, and it's the way the Lord works. Brother Griffiths and I were sitting there, it was almost like this past week when we were there. And I was sitting on the platform and by that night, and he goes, it's my turn to preach, but I don't want to preach. You preach. I said, I don't have anything to say. Your camp, you're the director. You got to do it, amen. I'm thinking, I love this. You know, usually the same pastor's got to do it. I said, you're the camp director. You got to do it. And we're sitting there basically arguing between the two of us on who ought to preach. And there was about 15, 16 girls sitting on this side of the tabernacle. It was just the two rows at that time. And for why I'll never know till eternity, but they just stood to their feet and they began to sing at the top of their voices, all hail the power of Jesus' name. let angels prostrate fall. And they just sang all the way through that song. We all just kind of sat there in awe. And they got done, and we thought, well, they'll sit down, and they didn't. They just went right into singing another song. And they sang that song, and they went right to singing the third song. And when they started that third song, a big old boy in the back stood up, and he said, I can't stand this no more. And he ran to an altar, and he got saved. And an hour and 45 minutes later, when the invitation ended, we'd had 18 people saved. We had, I think, 9 or 10 young men surrender to preach that night in that service. Why? Because God will always, Jesus will always be victorious. Amen. He will cause us to be victorious if we'll just allow it. But now watch this. I want to go to one other. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Tie this all together. It commences with the Lord. It continues with the Lord. But look in 1 John 4. And I'm not showing you verses that you don't know. I'm just trying to get a hold. Pray for these military people. As they get a hold of the Lord, they not only need to get a hold of the Lord, but they need to be triumphal. They need to be victorious Christians to walk the walk and talk the talk. It kind of reminds me of going back to the days I was in prison preaching with those people all the time. And, you know, when man got saved in prison, he knew the persecution he was going to face. He knew that when he went back to the cell block, that they were going to come by and give him a hard time. He knew the Muslims were going to come by and give him a hard time. He knew that. And so when he walked it out and got saved, he knew what he was doing and what he was going to face. I sometimes think that people in the military know the same thing. They know the battles they're going to face. And when they get saved, amen, they need to walk victorious. What's 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4? He said, you are of God, little children, and have what? Overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than what? He that is in the world. Amen. Look at the next verse, chapter 5 and verse number 4. He says the same thing. And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. Here we go back to where we started this morning, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? See, it doesn't just commence with the Lord. It doesn't just continue with the Lord. But I'm going to make my final victorious event in my life, amen. And that's when I close my eyes in death, or the Lord Jesus Christ comes back at the rapture, and at that day, because I'm saved, I'm going to leave this world, and I'm going to heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And in that last day, I will overcome this world, I will overcome death, I will overcome all the curse of this world through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when it commences with the Lord, it will conclude with the Lord Jesus Christ. My victory in my life will conclude with the Lord. I'm going out of here one of these days in the rapture, or I'm going out to the avenue of death. My wife and I thought we were going to do that in February. I don't want to tell you that whole story, but when you're in a plane at 39,000 feet and the smoke still in the front of it and all the lights went out and they're trying to tell you what's transpiring, you think maybe this is it, amen? But there was a peace in our soul, amen? Now, there was a fear that gripped me, amen. Because if I'm going to go down on a hillside, I'd rather it be in West Virginia, amen. That's just a preference of mine, amen. But there was a peace that flooded our soul. One pastor asked me, he said, was you scared? I said, yeah. He said, you weren't dying. He said, because if you were dying, God gives you dying grace. I said, you sit in this flame seed when it's dark and it's still in the smoke, and see how you get through the situation, amen. But you know, I knew in my heart that if I died, I'm going to heaven. I would overcome this world. There's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I when we started in this chaplaincy thing, here's what I told the Lord. Lord, if there's not hope to help these men and women, I don't want to be involved. And the Lord said, it's the same hope the rest of the world has. It's in the Lord Jesus. Amen. And they can have victory in the Lord Jesus. And I'll tell you what was interesting to me. When I was there at Camp Pendleton, went over on the military base there at Camp Pendleton, and they took me up to what is called the Low Altitude Air Defense Unit. They call it LAD. And they're the guys that have the little missiles that they shoot things down low altitude. and went in there, and they showed me around, and the man in the office, corner office, is Colonel Potter. I thought that was, when he told me his name was Colonel Potter, I laughed. Of course, that goes back to my age, amen. Colonel Potter was on MASS. Come on, somebody say amen. And so I started laughing. I said, oh, you're kidding. He said, no, the guy's name's Colonel Potter. And about that time, this about 6'2" black man steps out of the door, and he said, are you Dr. Morrison? I said, yes, sir. He said, come in my office. And I walked in his office, and he said, I want you to tell you how glad I am you're here. Sit down. He said, I want to talk to you. He began to talk to me about the Lord. He said, the Lord's just so good. Isn't it good to be saved? Isn't it good to know the Lord? He began to talk to me about how long I've been saved. And he's having questions about it. He's trying to find a church to go to. He said, how do you find a good church? He said, just come to San Diego. And he started. And I'm thinking, this is exciting. I'm sitting in the office of a colonel in the Marine Corps. And what's he talking about? Not battlefield strategy, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody told that man about the Lord. Amen. And he's victorious as a colonel in the Marine Corps. He's victorious. He said, I want my child. He said, I got a 9-year-old boy. I just want my 9-year-old boy to grow up under the sound of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, next time you come back, he said, I want you to come in this year and preach. He said, forget this nonsense just showing you around on the VIP tour. He said, why don't you come in here and tell us something about the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. That's a man that's victorious. Not once in his life, but always. Amen. And he said to me, he said, Brother Morrison, he said, I've been to Iraq twice, been to Afghanistan once. He said, you know, I never worried about it. I said, you did? He said, no, sir. Because he said, if I knew if I died, I knew where I was going. That's a man that's got victory in his life. We should have that kind of victory, amen. In the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the hope we have here. If something happens to us, we're going home to be with the Lord. Because how do we overcome? It's our faith that overcomes. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what overcomes this world. I could sit and tell you stories. Let me tell you one more. Chaplain Hall was telling me that when he was in Iraq, and this is how the Lord works when you're walking with the Lord. He said they were in Iraq, and he said they were going through this very heated battle scene, and he said we had to come up to this overpass, and he said we didn't know whether to go under that overpass or not, because you know they teach you in battlefield all the technique that's a very dangerous place. You get over there, the enemy could be hidden on that bridge and jump up, you know. And he said, we didn't know what to do. And we stopped the convoy looking at this overpass trying to figure out what to do. And one of the men says, Chaplain, what do you think? And he said, I don't know. He said, let's see. And he said, about that time we looked up and one of the men said, Chaplain, look on the bridge. There's 5 of our vehicles sitting on the bridge. It's safe. And he said, we went underneath that bridge and got the other side and looked back and couldn't see a vehicle once. And he said, I went up to the commanding officer who was setting up in another place watching all this. He said, why did you guys go underneath that underpass? He said, you violated the rules of battlefield technique or whatever it's called. He said, what did you do? He said, well, there was 5 of our vehicles on that overpass. They were protecting us. And he said, that commander said, look, there was nothing on that overpass. Not one time. Hello? That's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. You think God's concerned about battlefields? Yes, he is. Because one of his children is in the middle of that battlefield. Amen? Richard Weese ate lunch in a mess tent just north of Baghdad and got up, and his unit was moved to another location, and 20 minutes later they bombed that mess. The last communication he had with his wife was he was going in that mess tent to eat. She didn't hear from him for hours. She just assumed he's still there. But God already took him out. Now the God that will do that on a battlefield will walk with you this evening and let you be victorious Am I right? I can't believe how much you've grown up. We realized, I thought, wait a minute, you were about this tall. You should be that tall. But as a young lady, the God that walks with them will walk with you. And you can be victorious in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Folks, I don't know about you, but I like having that kind of victory. Amen. I like having that kind of victory. And a God that is victorious. See, the charismatics don't have a corner on this. Amen. In fact, they don't understand it. Amen. We're the victorious ones. Because God's working our life. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here with these folks and challenge them today. And I pray, Father, today that we'd all realize we're victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we all understand that victory that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless them. Time together. Thank you for this church, the friendship, the fellowship. That you just bless it. Lord, you've done great and mighty things here. I pray you continue to do greater things. Lord, just bless the invitation tonight. May we all understand the victory we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand our feet, heads are bowed, and eyes are closed. Pastor will come.